The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran out on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Here ends our text. What is distinctively Christian about this text? What's distinctively Christian about Jesus seeing the large crowd and having compassion on them? This is especially hard for you to answer if you're under 35. That's because the world around us is saturated in compassion. Nearly every weekend there is a race, a walk, a run, helping someone or some group with a special affliction. Almost every store counter has a donation can inviting you to have compassion on someone needing a medical procedure. Every grocery store has a way for you to add compassion for the homeless, the hungry, or the sick to your grocery bill. The same with professional sports. They are leaders in compassion. The NFL promotes compassion for the community with United Way. Major League Baseball officially sponsors the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. And the NBA supports 24 social service organizations. This brings us to the edge of why I feel sorry for you if you're under 35. Time to go over the edge. Corporate America wants to be known for its compassion. If you did not know better, you would think they were charitable organizations rather than businesses. The New Age ones lead the way. Whole Foods gives 5% of its net profits to not-for-profit organizations. Starbucks, in their mission statement, has concern for the community as one of its 6 major goals. My favorite, though, is Hard Rock Cafe. Do you know what their official motto is? Love all, serve all. What used to be the exclusive purview of the church, compassion, concern, serving the down and out, was now championed by corporate America. But even this is not why I feel bad for you if you're under 35. No, I feel bad because not only the New Age companies are oozing compassion, but even the blue chip stocks are bleeding. Ford Motor Company has on their official webpage a tab, Good Works. IBM proclaims on their website that they have diverse and sustained giving programs. And General Motors has a whole section entitled GM-sponsored AIDS film. In the summer of 1977, I worked for General Motors. I went through their orientation. Not once in this new worker orientation did they mention their works in the community, their serving of others, or their corporate responsibility. What they emphasized was that currently GM had 47% of the world auto sales, and they wanted more. If you're under 35, you bristle at the idea that a company wants only to make more money. Moreover, you prickle at my finding fault with corporate America having compassion. You think that's refreshing, that's enlightened, that's nobler than the old way when just the church had compassion. And that's why I feel sorry for you. Because the new way has so carried the day that you cannot see it for what it really is. The world around us, filled with compassion, is filled with compassion because it is their righteousness before God. You can look at yourself in the mirror in the morning because you ran, you walked, or you raced for a cure. You can feel good about yourself because you put your change in the can for Jerry's kids. You can feel good about watching NFL, drinking your Starbucks, or buying GM because they do good works. The world believes having compassion for others is righteousness before God and others. Christian compassion confesses that all of its righteousness, all of its compassion, is no more than dirty rags. The dollar I put in the can, my running in that race, my compassion for others is tainted, befouled, ruined by my sinfulness. I cannot help but hold up anything I think, anything I do, or anything I say before God and say, that's righteousness, that's goodness, that makes me a better person. Under the sharp eye of the holy God, the good works promoted by the NFL, MLB, and NBA are flecked with sin, selfishness, and pride. Under God's sensitive nose, the loving all and serving all of Hard Rock Cafe stinks to high heaven. The world does not believe a word of this. And the sinful flesh within you rails against what I just said. How dare I assert that what all the world agrees to be righteousness, goodness, compassion, is sinfulness, badness, and selfishness. That's because neither the world nor our fallen natures believe what we prayed in the collect. We prayed, without God, we cannot do anything that is good. The world and our fallen selves don't believe we're lost, don't believe we're in need of a shepherd, don't we believe we're in need of saving. Both believe they can stand before God as long as they have works of compassion, deeds of service, or attempts to help others. On the last day, however, all will see that none of that is enough. And that's your problem if you're under 35. As in a fairy tale, you're being kept from waking up. Being kept from waking up to the full reality of your sins and God's judgment. Corporate America is breathing the poison mist of Satan that caring for others, having compassion for others, helping others can cover your sins, undo your sins, or satisfy God's judgment. Wake up! Wake up, I say, and see that if good works were enough to satisfy God's wrath, then surely Jesus had enough of them. His life was perfectly holy. No sin was found in any of his works. But what happened? Jesus was still driven to the cross, brutally crucified and crushed by God's eternal wrath. To satisfy God's laws, Jesus lived perfectly under all the commandments. But in order to satisfy God's wrath, Jesus had to suffer and die, forsaken by God. Your good works are not enough to satisfy the law of God. Give all your money to the poor. Run in races for the cure till your legs fall off. Build 10,000 homes for Habitat for Humanity. And if you think any or even all of it satisfy God's law, even a little, well, then you've just earned a hotter and deeper hell for yourself. And neither can your suffering satisfy God's wrath. If you try to offer up your emotional pain, your physical exertion, or your tender feelings in the name of compassion to appease the wrath of God, he's going to throw it right back in your face and say, that's nothing. Don't go to God based on your compassion for others. Don't try to appease God based on how you've suffered in having compassion for others. You go to God based on the compassion God the Son has for you. His compassion counts before God, not yours. Jesus saw how you struggled to keep God's law. He saw how they were too heavy for you. And rather than load you with more laws, he took all of them on his back and kept every one of them. Now God the Father looks at you and sees not one single broken law. And Jesus saw the judgment that was bearing down on you. He saw God's eternal wrath about to roast you forever, and he couldn't bear that. So he stepped in front of the lightning bolt of God's wrath and took it in your place. In Jesus, God's wrath against your sin and sinfulness is satisfied, appeased, over, and done with. Big sigh of relief. What you can never get from overflowing with compassion, you now have because Jesus has compassion on you. Let's look at this compassion, because His compassion for us informs our compassion for others. Note that Jesus is concerned with the whole person, soul, and body. He took on flesh and blood to redeem not just our souls, but these bodies. He went through not just spiritual suffering and death, but physical. Because He had compassion, not just on our souls, but on our bodies. And He left us sacraments that bring redemption and compassion that we can see, that we can hear, that we can touch, and we can taste with our bodies. My forgiveness, my clear conscience is found in waters that I can actually see. It's found in words that I can really hear. It's found in Jesus' body and blood that I can taste in bread and wine. Jesus' compassion for you is for the whole person, soul and body. This informs the church how she is to be compassionate. Long before they raced for cures, the church ran to build hospitals. Long before pro sports was concerned for the community, the church was feeding and clothing it. Long before corporate America got a conscience, the church has been the conscience of government and business alike, saying all human life is sacred because it comes from God. The church has always led the way in compassion, but two things she would never do. One, claim that her compassion is righteousness before God. Two, put physical needs above spiritual. So if you think your compassion is good enough before God, know that you are being led away from the righteousness, the forgiveness, the salvation that is in Jesus. If you think physical needs are above or even equal to spiritual, know that you're not paying attention to your Bible. In our text, Jesus has compassion on the crowd not because they were hungry, not because they were naked, not because they were oppressed by Rome. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were lost sheep. They were outside the fold, and they would be devoured by wolves. Next week, we're going to see Jesus feed them physically. But first, He feeds them spiritually. However, when they reject His teaching and follow Him only for the physical reasons, Jesus has no compassion on them at all, but rebukes them severely. But do notice that the text opens with Jesus having compassion for the physical needs of His disciples. He takes them away for physical rest. However, as soon as a spiritual need shows up, He puts that spiritual need of the people above His disciples' physical one. Your spiritual needs being met here, baptism washing your guilty conscience, absolution separating you from your sins, and communion feeding your soul and body life and salvation, these enable you to have compassion for the physical needs of others. These three, baptism, absolution, and communion, they also do another very, very important thing for you. They protect you from the beating Satan tries to give you in a world awash in compassion. Satan beats you up with the high, noble compassion your community, pro sports, and corporate America have, because you know your compassion is tainted, insufficient, and wavering. Well, you don't stand before God, much less before men, based on your feeble works. Your standing is in Jesus, clothed by Jesus, with Jesus, and you in Jesus. If anyone can find fault with Jesus, well, then they can find fault with you. If they cannot find fault with Jesus, and who really can, then no one is able to find fault with you in Him. Let the world trumpet its compassion. You trumpet Jesus' compassion for you. That endures world without end. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue.